But if you have a specific question, then I will answer it.
Well, sure, you started with the fact that we have to change, they don't have to change, so I wonder what you
tell. No. I didn't say you have to change, they don't have to change. I said you can change you, you can't change them.
But do you say to them, you can change you, but you can't change them?
Yes.
Okay.
Same thing.
Same thing.
I mean, look, empowerment means giving you tools to actually make stuff happen. If I tell you, go and train guys, that's not very empowering.
So do you have another book? The other book is called?
The other book is called The Tao of Dating, The Thinking Man's Enlightened Guide to Success with Women.
Do you have that one?
I do not. You can buy it through my website. I have never printed it. And frankly, I look at it, I wrote it in 2005. It reads like my junior high poetry. So, it has references to digital cameras. It's ancient. The principles are pretty much the same. And it's about, I'd say, 65% the same as a woman's book. The principles are very similar because it's all from the Tao. So the whole point of this is that you guys have like specific dating questions. I'm here to answer them because I was just going to do that. It was just going to be a Tao of Dating live. So throw me questions, I'll answer them in real time. But I thought I'd throw a lecture in there too. So did you have a specific question or you just want to know about guys? You're not happy about the answer. So, I mean, I'm seeing the frown here. So. And that happens a lot. We're like, what? I have to change. They don't have to change. I'm like, well, it's like fitness, right? You have a choice of going out, training, and becoming fit, right? And that way you'll be fit. And when you get in the race, you will do well. But you can't get the other people to be fit. So what I'm saying is I can be your trainer, and I can show you how that's done. And that way you'll just meet other fit people because all the unfit people will be left behind. So, think of it as training.
What do you do with guys who are emotionally unavailable?
What do you mean?
Define. Just basically, how do you handle them?
Okay, give me a specific situation and the outcome you want. I mean, the way I would handle them is I would kind of do a leg sweep right this and kind of go like that. But you may want to do something else. The point is, I've gotten 5,000 questions and not once has somebody actually said in the question, this is what I want. How do I get it? They always say, what should I do? And I say, you know what? You should take a nice walk in the park, maybe go get some baguettes and send me a bottle of champagne. I mean, I don't know what you want to do. I mean, what is your outcome? So
how do you make them open up?
Okay, so do you have a specific guy you're thinking about?
Yes.
Okay, tell me more. This is a safe forum, and by the way, I am recording this audio, so if you don't want people to know who it is, just don't mention your name and you'll be anonymous. So go ahead.
For someone who is extremely hard to share anything personal, how do you get there to actually have them share something personal? And it's not you, it's just how they are.
Yeah.
What are the steps to take, or are there any steps to take to actually get them start talking about how they feel and what they actually are going through?
Okay, so who's the guy? Does he have a name? Give him a name.
No name.
Guy has no name.
John. Let's call it John.
All right, John. How long have you known John?
Over a year.
Okay, how old is John?
In his 30s.
Okay, are you dating John?
No.
Do you want to be dating John?
Maybe.
Do you want to be dating an emotionally unavailable guy whom you have to pry every word out with a crowbar?
Then probably no.
So what is your outcome? A lot of people come to me and they don't have that answer, so I give them the answer. The answer is you want to be your most flourishing, best self on this earth so you can give your gift. For that to happen, you want a partner who can catalyze that gift. It is a guy who requires that you pry out every word with a crowbar and is not interested in intimacy. Is he the guy who's a catalyst to that vision of you being your greatest self? If the answer is yes, I will tell you how to get him. If the answer is no, I would say, find a different guy.
I'd like to get to know him.
Okay, here's the thing. So you want a guy who meets you where you are. So this guy's in his 30s, right? He's not a child. And remember the thing I said about project? Right, so the question to you is, why do you need this project? What's important to you about having this project? Because this guy is not the guy who's prefab who's going to fulfill you. He's the project. So the real question is, why are you gravitating towards project boyfriends? And what's wrong with actually finding a guy who appreciates you as you are right now and is like, you are awesome. I would like to hang out with you. Right? So That's usually the real question. The question is not about how to change the other guy or have him do something that you want him to do. So do you have an answer for that? What's important to you about having a project?
I like projects. That's my life, pretty much. It's my work.
Right, exactly. So are you do you work in therapy or something like that, or a consultant or something? Look, I know this, okay? So I'm trained as scientist, solves problems. Doctor, solves problems, diagnoses disease. Therapist, solves problems, okay? So my whole life has been like these women who are, oh my God, you're lovely and amazing. Oh, look, all these things we can work on together. This will be fabulous, right? Do not do that, okay? Do not bring, if you're some kind of professional or consultant or something, don't bring that project attitude, that problem-solving attitude to your relationship, because the whole idea is you're supposed to be partners, right? Mm-hmm. And so the question to ask yourself is, even if that works out, is that sustainable, right? Yeah. So you have to kind of recognize that in yourself, and there's other work that needs to be done about that, because, you know, I can just talk about it, but there's wiring in there that makes you move towards, you know, project boy. And is there a history of this? Have you done this before?
No.
First potential project. Okay. And were the non-project boyfriends, were they a better experience?
Different?
Okay. Okay, so have I answered your question, or is there more to it?
Okay,
good. So, and the other thing from answering a whole bunch of questions is that the initial question is never the real question. So people come to you with a symptom, but that is not the disease. So you kind of find drill down inside, like, that's what's going on. Yes?
What is your take on readiness? So you know, like, you're dating a good guy, sometimes they're not in the place where it's clear that they're ready for a relationship.
Yeah.
And you know it's not about you, and like they have this spy in the heart, you can sense that, but the timing just feels off. What is your take on like the cues for that? Of when?
Define timing.
So just understanding someone's level of readiness for commitment.
Good. Okay, good, good. So you're implying that you are ready to commit, but he is not.
Yes.
Okay, well, that means he is not ready to commit. So I know these things because I've been all of these guys, okay? So I've lived this life, and I've been the project boyfriend. I've been the emotionally unavailable guy. I may even be the emotionally available guy. I don't know. So here's the thing. For guys, partnership is two things, a person and a time. If you have person but not time, not going to happen. If you have time but not person, not going to happen. So it sounds like he has you whom he likes, but it's not the right time for him. And that's all you need to know. And there are techniques for getting him to turn around. One of them is to leave.
Bravo. Thank you
for that.
In that person time thing. Do you really believe that?
What do you mean?
I was just wondering if you really believe in this whole idea of time, because I just think it's all about the person. And
well,
people get married at 19, sure. 90, and...
I can only speak from personal experience. So most of them, what I'm saying, if it's from science, I will tell you, here's the source, Red Queen, go read it, right? But most of it's personal experience and also just a sample size I have. And as a guy, who has been a card-carrying guy for many years now, you know, sometimes I sit and I'm like... I passed up on her. Why? And I'm like, I was in play mode. It would have been a disaster, right? I mean, the number of amazing women, I have just kind of like, see ya. So I was that guy. And there's not a whole lot you can do about it. And there's no sense condemning the guy. It's not like he's a bad guy. It's just that he's not in that zone, right? And why do you want to wrangle him to be in that zone if he's not ready? Because that's not what you want, right? Then you have two people who are in the thing that they don't really want. So there is a guy out there who's like, oh, I'm going to lock this one down. So, and then actually you end up, you know, having a better chance of partnership. And you actually have more leverage, too, because he wants to be there. Whereas the other guy, here's the thing. This is one thing that I teach about guys, okay? Do not chase. And it works for women, too, okay? But here's the thing, okay? Let's work through the game theory of this. So here's somebody who's like, oh, haha, you're nice. Okay, bye. And you're like, hey, I'm going to chase that down, right? So there's two possible outcomes. One, you don't get him or her. Now you're frustrated. Is that good? Is that what you want? You want to be frustrated. Okay, now you lost. Losing is no fun, right? Outcome number two is you get him or you get her. He's like, yeah, right? But if you chased, you got them on their terms, not your terms. They own your ass. You lose either way. Do not chase. Be chased. And not chase. Not C-H-A-S-T-E. That doesn't work.
They are not chasing. Huh? That's not the right ones.
Pardon me?
They are not chasing.
You're not chasing what?
Me.
What's the question? I didn't get it.
Well, I don't know if I have one or not.
So how does that relate to like a dating app like Bumble where the girl has to say something first? It's not chasing, but you're making the first.
Ah, action. Yes. So you may not chase, but again, there's that whole subtle movement. You can like do the little wrist flick saying, twirl me now, right? But the thing is, then you let him lead. And the thing is, if you don't, then you'll never know if he knows how to lead. Because you want to know if you can bring out the leadership in a guy, you can do the leading for him, right? So Bumble's great because guys have, like, these days, like, nobody's responding. Now it's like, okay, somebody's sort of into this, let's go. So that's fine. I'm generally against dating apps. But that said, that one's probably a better one than the other ones. And so, yeah, it's okay to prime the pump. So, you know, you send a text saying, hey, when were you going to take me out? As opposed to, hey, let's go out, right? So it's subtle. You're letting your presence be known. You're saying, hello, I'm here, do something, buddy, right? So you're bringing out his leadership, but you're not taking the lead. Mm-hmm. If you take the lead, then you have the two situations. You'll end up with, like, the wimpy guy or the brute. Or actually, a lot of times, the guy is like, why is she chasing me? I wrote an article once about how, you know, cheetahs like to chase down gazelles. But if the gazelle were suddenly turn around and chase the cheetah would be really confused. He's like, what the? I'm out of here. So don't put on the full chase, but feel free to prime the pump a little bit.
So hang on, who's the cheetah? Who's the gazelle?
Who's the cheetah? It could be either way, but usually the guy is the cheetah and the woman's the gazelle. So yes, these are great questions. So more questions from real life. I like them. Yes, sir.
Just a personal observation on that particular dynamic is that the challenge with that approach, though, is that this goes counter to your earlier arguments for the good guy.
Yeah.
Right? So a good guy who respects a woman will extend himself to a certain degree to say, hey, I'd like to do this or that or whatever. And on the flip side, you know, the challenge is the gray zone of, okay, is she playing hard to get versus she's generally not interested.
Yeah.
Right? And all I would advise is that if you play that too hard, then the only guys you're going to wind up with are the super aggressive ego monsters. That's because correct. The good guy is going to say, I tried a couple times, didn't work, you know, she didn't respond, she didn't come back with a reasonable alternative or say I'm free on this night or whatever or something. Mm. And you'll say, okay, done, move on.
Yeah, no, that's a great observation. And here's the thing. So there's a principle that I use every time I'm giving a seminar for women or any time a woman writes me, and that is that women are always right. If you say anything about your life, that means it's right for you. It's true. So I have to listen, right? So anytime a guy says anything about their lives, you should listen because it's also true. Okay. But what he said was particularly true because it's exactly what I tell people. And the whole idea of giving the good guy quarter, right? Giving the good guy space. And if you play too much hard to get, a good guy gives up. Right? Also, what's a good guy? A good guy is a guy who has principles. This guy who has self-respect. And if he's called you three times, if you've turned him down three times or didn't show up twice, he just can't keep on doing that and still maintain his dignity. Okay? So you have to give him a little something. And that little something is respect for his time, respect for his efforts, right? And showing up. And I cannot tell you how many times both parties have been interested in my life, so, you know, I ascertained later on that she was interested, and she asked me out, right? But things did not happen because somebody flaked, right? So in this town, especially in busy cities like New York and L.A. and San Francisco, there's so much flakiness, and it's really killing relationships. So a couple of things you ladies can do is, one, do not over-rely on texting. Texting just obliterates all kind of data. Voice tone, communication, it's not real communication, right? So use it only for like, hey, 6:30 so-and-so place, great, okay? But actually communicate with people in real time, if you can help it. And number two, show up, especially if you like the guy. Do everything in your power to show up. If you don't show up, it's like the biggest insult to him. And the thing is, again, game theory. Let's see what happens. You like a guy, ask you out, Friday night, you're about to go. And invariably, the time when you're going to be most reluctant to show up is right before you have to. Because it's a date. You have no idea what's going to happen, right? So much uncertainty. Am I do I look pretty? Am I going to like him? Is this a waste of time? So right at that last moment is when you're most likely to cancel. Just show up. Go. For God's sake, just go. Because if you don't, then now you've dissed him. And he can't ask you out again. And you're the woman. You're not going to ask him out anyway because you never do. So it's over, right? There's no recovery from that. So do your best to show up. And the only recovery from that, if you have a real excuse, is you call and you apologize profusely and you offer to make it up to him and you ask him out. Otherwise, it's dead. So make that first meeting happen if you like a guy. If you don't, just don't make the first meeting in the first place, right? If you have to diss him later, don't do it. It just poisons the well, and you have all these guys out there who are like mistrustful of women, and that's because it's happened to them so many times. So, good question. Yes?
What's the best way to let someone down that you're not interested in seeing anymore? Let's just say you've been on like 2 dates.
Ah, excellent question. So I just asked this online as well. So you can either call this...
You respect them. Mm-hmm. You had a nice time, but you're just
not... So first of all, don't do the fade, okay? So most people are like, I'll just ignore his responses and it'll go away. Okay, so that's treating people worse than dirt. So you can't do that and still feel good about yourself as a human being, okay? So if you're not even willing to say no, get lost, that means the guy's like, okay, that means I'm nothing, right? So have the courtesy of communicating with them, and there's a way of doing this such that you end up ahead. So any guy that you meet is a potential ally for life. So even if you aren't going to be romantic partners, why not have a friend? Why not have an ally? So the way you structure it such that you have a potential ally is what I call the praise sandwich. Some people call it the shit sandwich. I prefer the praise sandwich. So you start with genuine appreciation. Hey, look, now we really hit off when we met. I thought you were a really cool guy. A couple of dates that we went on, I don't think we're quite at the same place when it comes to dating, and I think we'd probably be better partners as friends. I really like to keep you in my life. I'm kind of thinking about long-term, 10 years, 20 years. I'd like to have you in my life as a friend, and if you don't, then don't say that, right? Say the real thing. But so first is praise, right? Then number two, the middle part is state your intent positively. Don't say, I don't want to see you again. Say what you do want to do. Say, I would like to remain friends, or, you know, I think we're better off not having a romantic relationship, right? And then finish with praise as well, because people remember the first thing and the last thing, and then the middle becomes somewhat easier to take. And then you end with, you know, I just really appreciate you because of this, this, and this, like real things, and then you're done. And if you'd like to see him again in the context of a friend, which makes guys feel so great, it's like, oh, can we just be friends? You don't have to say that, but just say, look, I appreciate your friendship. I appreciate your company. So praise, the mean thing, phrase positively, praise. Yes,
appreciate it. Can you say, I just don't feel the chemistry?
Much better than putting a guy in a friend zone.
You can do that too, yeah. It's like, look, you're pretty great. I just don't feel the chemistry, and I really need that for a relationship to go in that certain direction, right? Instead of saying you're a horrible kisser, which may also be true, so you never know. It's a really hard thing to tell people for certain. Yes, question.
So I have been on so many dates, and I feel like I have come up with like the thing that you can...
Yes, I want to hear it from the lady. Tell us.
What I have come up with is I think you're a great catch, but I don't think we're a good match.
Ooh, it's good. That's good.
Because it's like, you know,
brilliant, brilliant.
Whatever, but like they're not a bad person.
Yeah, yeah.
And you don't want them to feel bad.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's hard to argue, and it's a closed door. But
yeah.
Then you can add.
That's brilliant.
You
yeah.
Want.
It's great.
She just said it so much more eloquently. See, this is why I like giving seminars to women. They teach me new things. Great catch, not a good match. And it's all about fit, and people don't take fit that personally, right? It's like, oh, it's not a good fit, right? As opposed to. Your salsa dancing is terrible. Right, it's like, you know. Or, those are funny shoes you were wearing.
Everyone knows that we say this.
What?
I mean, don't the guys, they know that? What our responses are, usually?
Well, so it took me a long time to come up with that.
I'm kind of the blonde side, you know?
Well,
it's the American way of saying, I'm not interested in you.
Yeah, it's
but
the
don't
American
you know?
Way of saying,
I know it's like a subtle way of messaging,
mm-hmm.
But then they...
Here's the thing. Okay, so...
I feel like it's
so,
friendly but firm.
Yeah, it's kind of...
Now, in this room, this may not have happened, right? But I have a very large sample size of people that I've spoken to, interviewed, blah, 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 and the number one response I get from women when I ask them, how'd you meet your husband, is, you know, I didn't really like him that much.
Yeah.
when I first met him. True. Right? Were you completely enamored with your husband when you first met him?
We met online. I must admit I was.
You did like him, okay.
I don't want to... Because I think what you're saying is right. Yeah. A lot of my friends yeah. actually... Yeah,
it
did.
Yeah, so... A lot of people, they don't start liking each other that much, right? And, you know, maybe the first two dates you went on weren't that great, but who knows? Life is longer than these 2 weeks or these 15 swipes, right? So 2 months later, you may be a different person, he may be a different person, you meet again, and you may really like him. So you're creating this structure that allows flexibility and maintains goodwill. If you say, I'm not interested, that kind of kills a little bit of goodwill. But you say, hey, if we're not a good match, that's more impersonal. So I like that. It's all about fit in the end. So test it out. See how it works for you.
Where do you find this good guy you were talking about?
Where? there's a book right here. If you have eyes to see, you are surrounded by good guys. So... First of all, they are there, so there is, you want to just develop your eye for that, and you'll see more of them. The thing is, they can be trained a little bit, and the key thing to remember is, as women, you actually direct the relationship in many, many ways, right? So, in various species, there's a size difference between males and females, and if the sexual dimorphism goes such that the male is bigger than the female, that means the male chases, right, the female. If it's the other way around, the female chases the male. And it turns out that in humans, males are bigger. So you're chased. You are the ones who are being chased. The thing is, if you are in that position, that means you have the power, right? And women ask me, who has the power? And, women say, oh, of course, guys have it. And guys say, no, women have it. They can't both be right. So I'm telling you the science is that you have more power in the situation. So... That means you also have the power to mold behavior and shape behavior. So guys and girls, people in general, they tend to raise themselves to the expectation level that you have of them, right? So if you say, hey, look, you're a great guy, but I need this, this, and this, and you convey that through your behavior, then the guy is much more likely to rise to that occasion. If he doesn't, then you have your information. And if he does, you're like, potential good guy. Because guys are out there waiting for the woman who inspires them, right?
Even the bad guys?
The bad guys, you want to avoid them. You don't want the bad guys, right? You want the bad boys. Don't worry about the bad boys. But every guy is waiting for that woman who can inspire him to rise to be a bigger version of himself, right? And what I'm talking about here is that if there are these traps of, say, self-loathing, thank you, bye-bye, these various traps of self-loathing and self-evaluation and perfections that you're caught in, you never have the opportunity to put that energy outward into somebody else's evolution, right? So if you do that, if you're doing that all the time, the good guys will come out of the woodwork. So you can kind of be the agent for sounding them out and figure out where they are. In the meantime, you go to places where they hang out, right? So if you're at a bar, who knows who's there, right? If you're at some frat party, who knows who's there? If you're at some charity ball, or there's some, soup kitchen, or some, teaching kids, I have a better sense of who's going to be there, right? You kind of gravitate towards the thing that you want more in your life. So if a good guy is more likely to be involved in service, he's going to be more likely to be involved in, education and elevating other people around him. So there are places where you can find guys like that. Does that make sense?
Any of the thousands of tech meetups that are happening in San Francisco and the Bay Area any day. Lovely, intelligent, professional men.
There you go.
Who aren't out there just to try and scam on.
These are great questions. We should probably wrap soon because the room is officially ours until 9, but nobody's going to kick us out anyway. So, wait, 9? Did I say 9? 8, right, 8, sorry, 8:15. It's 8:15, 8:10. So, more questions. You paid for this. So, go for it. Ask your questions. Do you have any questions? You're taking notes furiously. I love that. So, either that means you're going to write an incriminating article about me, or it means it's great. Yes. Questions? Sure, absolutely. As many as you want.
What's your take on age difference?
Age difference.
Particularly when a woman's older.
Right, women's old. Ooh, that's a good one. Okay, good. So, most younger guys are not going to be into it because, again, intimidation, wiser, blah, blah, blah. And generally speaking, the guy tends to be older than the woman. That said, if you are the woman who's comfortable with it, because usually it's the woman who's not comfortable with it too, then the world is your oyster. And if you're, you know, comfortable a little bit with a training aspect, then the world is totally your oyster. So I don't know what you're looking for, but you know, if you're looking for fun, then your average 25-year-old guy is going to be up for fun. If you're up for partnership, your average 25-year-old guy is not going to be for partnership. So, you know, if they're a little younger than you, that's great, right? But I don't see a problem. So what's the specific question? How do you do it? Should you do it? What is it?
No, it's just that I'm constantly surrounded by younger guys.
Yeah, well, that's fantastic, right?
I'm single.
But what is not fantastic about it? Tell me.
I'm constantly being told I'm too old for them.
Oh, okay, so that's what's happening. Yeah. They're saying you're too old for them, right? But if you were cooler than all the other... Look, here's the thing, right? So, guys like women who make them feel good, right? And here's the thing. So, not to knock... young, beautiful woman, but the fact is, if you have been young and beautiful your entire life, you have very little incentive to be cool, right? Because you're just the fact that you're standing there has gotten you all the praise and attention you'll ever need, right? So, is she going to teach him how to ride a motorcycle? Uh-uh. She's going to cook for him? Uh-uh. She's going to stand there and say, world, appreciate me, because I'm beautiful, right? Okay, so you probably have some other skills. If you can bring that to the table, guess what? He's going to love you, and he's going to go like, why would I even want to deal with a 22-year-old clueless woman, right? So anything that you think is a disadvantage can actually be turned to an advantage just as quickly, right? And if you decide it's a disadvantage, then it is. And that's over. That's game over. If you say, older, they're all going to turn me down, fine. But if you're like, yo, I got tickets to go go-karting at F1 on Saturday. Want to come? They're like, huh, what's that all about, right? Who's going to do that? Which one is going to do that, right? So recognize where your power is and play in your home court. Once you have your home court advantage, then you're doing a lot better. And your potential home court advantage is that you have more experience. And you, once they go out with you, there may be no going back because they're like, what was I thinking, right? So, and to close that whole idea of the beauty versus experience thing, so the young, beautiful women may have the advantage early on, right? But once the guy realizes there's not a whole lot happening here and this is not that interesting, right, then they lose interest. Whereas with you, early on, it's hard to spark that like biologically based reaction in them because women attract status through fertility, men attract fertility through status, right? So what is older? What does older mean? It just means you're giving off fewer signs of fertility, right? But if you can get them interested to start a little bit, then you win and your attraction goes up as time goes on, whereas their attraction goes down because guess what? For better or for worse, beauty is a perishable commodity. So, whereas coolness is an ever-appreciating commodity. So, it's true. Coolness and experience.
How much do you need to play the game?
What do you mean?
Do you even need to play the game?
Yeah, it's like, do you need to wait a day? So if he doesn't text back, am I supposed to do the same thing?
Mm-hmm. Right, okay. So here's the deal. There is no way of not playing the game. A game is very simple. It's if there are two parties involved and there's an outcome, you have a game. That's kind of game theory. That's it. It's a game, right? Now the question is, are you going to play well? Or are you going to play poorly? And are you going to play by other people's rules, or are you going to play by your rules? So I would encourage you to play by your rules, because then you're much more likely to play well, okay? So if you're thinking, oh, I think there's some rule out there that if he takes so long to whatever, then whatever, you've already lost. You're already trying to figure out somebody else's rule unwritten somewhere. You can't win. On the other hand, if you make your own rules and you say, okay, I'm going to call him or text him. If he does not answer by so-and-so time, he's out. Or I send him a second text saying, yo, dude, what's up? I don't have forever, right? I got 16 other guys waiting on me or something, right? It's like, what, are you playing hard to get or something? Haha, cute. Get back to me, right? Just because this is your life. You got shit to do. You don't have time to wait for him, right? So that's a big part of it. Here's the thing. There's like this hyperabundance of false choice now with like these dating apps. I mean, you can be on a date, guy goes to the bathroom, boom, he swiped on 50 more people. This is not the way things used to be. Like, courtship took time, right? So, with this hyperabundance of choice, people can sometimes get a little discombobulated. You just have to kind of direct them towards their wanted outcome, which is you. So, just make it easier for them to decide. Think of it in terms of you're being kind to them by helping them make a better decision.